Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Pastor Sam Cottle here with you. It's got to be one of my most favorite audio files that's ever been. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It's one of those statements that you and I make as Christians. That's who we are. Yesterday at the conference, Dr. Barclay read the creed for the Special Forces Creed, and what they said, he was a Special Forces Marine. And I tell you what, when you begin to hear what the Special Forces guys say, and then you begin to realize that you and I as brothers and sisters of the cross have a brotherhood that is amazingly deep. If we would just stick with each other, it's amazing to see what it is. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Find your flag. We gotta get busy. Got a lot going today. Let's say the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's pray. God and Father of us all, Creator of heaven and earth, In Jesus' mighty name we come to you today. If we've ever loved you, Lord, it's today. If we ever needed you, it's today. We avail ourselves to the body, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. I know we don't have to keep saying it because it's already happened when we accepted it, but I say it again today. so that we can come boldly to the throne. Not about what happened yesterday, about what's going on right now with your blood giving us access to that holy place where you said, come boldly. And we do. We open our hearts. We open our minds. We open up our understanding to be used by you, but to receive from you right now. As we set aside this time, I thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength and peace in the life of every one of these that are listening, whether it's live right now or in the future by the archive. May their life be blessed forever. And for what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be going to my dad here in a minute. He'll be reading a proverb for us. But until then, right now, I want to read this. It's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. Found scrawled on the wall of a hut of a martyred Christian, I believe in Africa. Part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die is cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learn by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My God is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I will not meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go till he returns. Give until I drop. Preach until all know. Work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The fellowship of the unashamed. Well, here we go. I'm coming to you right now, Dad. Everybody that's online, my dad has been a minister his whole life. I don't remember what day I was born. What day of the week was I born, Dan?
Ask your mother.
I knew you was going to say that. That's a wise man.
I think it was on a Wednesday.
So I was probably to church on Sunday or Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
So they've been ministering the gospel as long as I've been alive. And, of course, that's only 25 years. They're still young in the ministry. Go ahead, Dad. Before I dig a hole, read the proverb.
Proverb chapter 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A foolish despises his father's instruction, but he who receives reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he who loves him, who follows righteousness. Harsh correction is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates reproof will die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love one who reproves him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. The way of the slothful man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. A wise man makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counsel, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The way of life winds upward the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes his bones healthy. The ear that hears the reproof of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains destruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds reproof gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility.
Boy, there's a mouthful in there, isn't there?
Oh, a lot of truth there.
Wow. Thank you, Dad.
You're welcome, son.
Bless you guys. Let me click the button here. It's an honor to have my parents with me every time we do this program. Not many young men get to have something like that. That's why I love this technology, because here we are 700 miles away from each other, and my dad gets to be a part of what I'm doing, and I get to have him as an honor thing be a part. It's just, somebody shout thank you, Jesus, or something. This is awesome. Well, our scripture we've been studying is out of the book of John, so everybody turn there, John chapter 2, and then John chapter 10. And while you're doing that, I'm not going to preach here, but I want to make a statement about something that's right here in this proverb. It says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. God has opened the door for me to minister to a lot of people who've lost a loved one. Now, when you look at that, it says, by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And if you've been around someone who's lost a loved one unexpectedly, you can see that. The spirit is broken. But then you go down here, and it says in verse 25 that God will establish the boundary of the wicked. Excuse me, of the widow. If you're a widow, the God of heaven is your protector. Jesus said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, I don't know how. I don't know how he does it. I just know he does. I know it's his power. I know it's his blood. I know he took stripes for it. And even though by the sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken, Jesus comes to heal the broken heart. And if you're a widow, maybe you're a mother that was your only son. This right here is saying that God's going to establish the boundary of the widow. That just tells you, I'm God. I'm taking care of you. I'm protecting you. I'm not letting nothing come against you. We can talk to him and we'll get to heaven about why. You can't answer those questions. So if you're dealing with that issue today, I encourage you, the God of heaven is in your corner. John chapter 2, verse 1. Some of you may be thinking, man, Pastor, how long are you going to be on this? I don't know. I've tried to go to a couple different places, and this is where God wants us, right here, right now. This is where he wants us. And so, John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, I believe he said, mother, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. His mother, Cottle paraphrase, winked at the servants and said, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast, and they did. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, and you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Say this with me. He manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. John chapter 10, Jesus said in verse number 37, picked up stones to stone him. He said, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, Jesus, though they didn't believe him, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then they got more angry at him. Man, this is the word for this whole week right here. Jesus manifested his glory by this miracle. You think about those servants, man. They filled up those water pots that were used for purifying their feet. And when them boys scooped that cup of water out of there, they had no idea that it was turned to wine. They were just being obedient, but they're like, this is going to be a nasty deal right here, man, and that dude's going to drink it. He ain't going to know the difference. What's going on here? Jesus took the most common thing, literally would actually be considered unclean, the washing of the feet, and he turned it into the best taste of wine that they'd had in the whole feast. But don't get stuck in the water and the wine. It's verse 11 we got to see, because it says he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. If you're a disciple of Jesus right now, just say it, I believe in you. Manifest your glory to me. To me. You know, my ordaining elder is a very amazing man of God. I've seen God manifest his glory to and through Dr. Barclay many times. I've heard many stories. He tells the story of going to Africa and finding a lady chained to a post, just like you read in the Bible, because she would jump in the fire and jump in the water and try to kill herself. She had a demon. They cast that demon out of her. I'd say that's manifesting the glory. But I got a word for every one of us. I don't need Jesus to manifest his glory to Dr. Barclay another day from. I need him to manifest his glory to me. Manifest your glory to me. Will he do that, Pastor? Yes. Yes. He will manifest his glory to you. But you don't get it if you're seeking religion, man. You get it if you're seeking him. You get it if you're seeking him. Hebrews says, he that comes to God must believe that he, God, is. Well, hey, if you're an American, you believe God is, pretty much. And then it says, you must believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that just means, do you think if you seek God, he'll reward you? And the answer to that is obviously yes. Look at this day, this beautiful sunshine. The sun hits that track across the sky, man, guaranteeing you that our God, his mercy was new this morning. And there ain't nothing that's coming in this day that he don't know about and he can't handle and he won't help you through. So you believe he is, you believe he'll reward you, and that's faith. Well, Pastor, I believe that. Then you got faith. You have faith. If you've made him, if you've come to him and said, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, if you're, Romans says, man, that nature itself is going to teach you God, who God is. So you deal with the fact of I receive you, Lord. Now all of his manifested glory can come to you and can come to your life. And just ask him for it. When you get in your car, you know, to go to McDonald's and get a coffee. Love you, Brother Mike. While you're in that car, say, Lord, manifest your glory to me on this trip to town. I got to get eggs and bread. Manifest your glory to me right here. One day I'll have you tell that story, Mike, about the time you were in the parking lot. And God manifested his glory to you. When we begin to train this eye to see that manifested glory, it shows up everywhere. And Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, if religiosity and your ways of traditions of men have caused you not to be able to look at me and believe, then believe for the work's sake alone. Because as the blind man said, in all of time, who has ever been able, what man has ever been able to open the eyes of the blind? He looked at the leaders and said, and if you guys can't see that, basically he said, you're just plain stupid. I was blind and now I see. My, my. I said I wasn't going to preach. I'm a preacher. It's very difficult to read the word without ministering it to you. Got a great bunch of people with us this morning. I love every one of you that's connected to us. Every one of you. And we're going to pray for these needs now. Find my sheet here. So, real quick, I want to get an update from a couple of you about some things we've been praying for. So, Mom, I'm going to come to you about the veteran. And Fran, I'd like to have you update us on your granddaughter and this other man there, David. So I'm going to come to you guys right now. Second here. Go ahead, Mom. Give us an update on David.
Dennis. Yes. It was amazing beyond belief. Dad and I went and were with him during this surgery. This crazy guy got the doctor to hook up a mirror so he could watch him take his knee out.
Jesus.
He is home. He is walking with his walker. He is anxious to have the therapy. He is totally rejoicing. So God really touched him.
Jesus. Let me watch. Okay, thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
Okay, Fran, I'm coming to you. Go ahead, give us an update.
Okay, Brittany is still waiting for her doctor appointment Monday.
Okay.
And David, I don't know exactly what's going on with him. I'm just with you, believing that God's doing something in his life. I guess he's just a mess.
Is he in the hospital?
Yes, he is in Battle Creek.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, and how's my brother Sonny?
Hospital or not.
Can you hear him talking back there?
Yes, I can.
He's doing pretty good. Very good.
Well, Sonny, yeah. I never would have called you pretty, but your wife did.
She's pretty angry.
So I believe her.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Pretty.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good to hear God give us updates and answers. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, right here, right now, today, I'm in West Branch, Michigan. We just heard a live caller from Tennessee, Kalamazoo. I can see Alger and Morley and West Branch and Gladwin. And we've got people from all over. But where are your children, Father? And Jesus told us. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you an orphan. And then he sent us the Holy Spirit that he would be with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the power of the Godhead is with us. Thank you. Thank you, Father. So we have Jesus to give us access. We enjoy that access, and according to Paul's statement in Romans right now, we are in this time of prayer as heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus the Christ. And as Jesus, as Paul said about Jesus, he didn't think it was robbery to be considered equal with God. We don't consider ourselves equal with God the Father. We consider ourselves children of God and heirs of everything that you have, and then you gave us the keys to the kingdom. You called us ambassadors, placed us on this earth as your messengers, as those purveyors of truth, and the light and the salt into every community that we go. And that's how we come to you today, Lord. And that is how we come to you. We come in faith, believing for your love, your mercy, and your grace to bless everything that's every person that we're going to bring to you right now. We know that you hear our prayer. And we know that we have the petition that we ask. So, Lord, we pray for Brittany again today. And this man named David there in the hospital in Battle Creek. We don't know. I don't know him, Lord, but you do. You've never missed a day of his life, not one second. You never leave us. You never forsake us. When he was in the womb, when his mom and dad came together and he was in the womb, you knew him. You gave him a plan and you gave him a purpose and you got a mission for him. And as we can see from Brittany's request, his family loves him. And Lord, we declare in your mighty, powerful, holy name that there is healing in his body. We expect to hear the miracle of healing. We expect that miracle. We expect it. And we thank you for it. Same thing for Brittany. Lord, I declare it again. When she gets to the doctor's appointment, they're going to say, we can't find anything. Is the pain there? And she's going to say, no, it's gone. And her whole system, top of her head, from her thyroid, her pituitary gland, every organ to the bottom of her feet, and all the cells, tissues, and joints functioning together properly like you designed it. Like it was created in the perfect womb when she was there. The damaging effects of this world that would destroy, we bind you with the, and we take the keys, and whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and we lose health and strength in her body, Lord, and in Dave's body. Thank you for this amazing testimony about Dennis and this knee replacement. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing man. I want to watch. Let me see it. And I'm up and going. I got my life. I'm going out. I'm going to go do. In the name of Jesus, may his voice be strong for the things of God. May his testimony be clear. And may many people find the love and mercy and grace of our God right now through this situation in David's life. We bless him. Thank you, Lord, for his service to our country in such a horrible time in Vietnam. And may his voice be clear and strong to every veteran that you can trust our God because he's with you. We pray today, Lord, for our brother Steve. He's had a heart attack this week and put in a stent. We bless your name, Lord, for the miracle that's there. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that miracle. Thank you. As the apostle said, it's his name and faith that is in his name that's got this man standing there in perfect soundness. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray for Cassie today. Had this operation, and we declare health and wholeness. Her system resilient and resistant to everything, every organ functioning as it should. No matter what this world throws at us, Lord, we know your system is greater than this world. Whether they poison us, whether they do anything, according to Mark chapter 16, we've got the promise that no chemical, no poison has the ability to destroy us. And we know we're going to have to use our faith for it. And right now, we make a statement over our own bodies. Lord, if there's junk stuck in our system because of something they're spraying on our food, we declare, body, release it and get it out. Because according to Mark chapter 16, no poison is going to have the ability to take us out. Father, I pray for my friends that are blind. Well, the blindness has tried to come on them. Thank you, Lord, that neither of these men just received it. And they're fighting it every day. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the Tanner family that this week they've lost their dad. Went across the other side to glory. He don't have no pain no more. As we learned this week, what's the worst that can happen? You fight the fight down to the end, and if you're not delivered from it, man, you get to go over to heaven and be with Jesus, which is our goal and our dream anyways, and he's there. That doesn't make us happy here on earth, but at least he's there. Another one made it across to the other side successfully, and we give you glory, Lord, that you received him. Now we pray for those left behind. Defend this family, Lord, with your love, your mercy, and your grace. I pray this in your mighty name, Lord. I pray it in your mighty name. I thank you, Lord, that the strong man is bound. We bind you in Jesus' name. Those that's fighting cancer, fight on. But fight with the name of Jesus. Because we fight with you. His name is the name that is above every name spoken in heaven and in earth. It's the name above every name. And we use that name now. Thank you, Lord, that your mercy is with us, that your grace is with us. Thank you, Lord, that revelation is coming to every one of us here. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what, we look at our life and we declare in the face of our enemy, you lose, we win, and we have faith in our God. And God is revealing himself to me today. Father, for those that don't even know how to pray it, but they're just even agreeing with me right now, reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to me, Sam Cottle. You say it. Put your name in there. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me, Lord, that I can walk with you every day. Lord, we pray for America today. We're in a horrible condition. We've killed 2 generations of children, Lord. Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Help every God-fearing Christian to stand up and attack with their faith this horrible plague. so that the plague will be stayed. May every one of us just be righteous, Lord. Live it and help others live it. Whew. Because we want to see righteousness exalted, or we want to see you exalted in our life, producing righteousness that we live in every day. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We pray for our troops that defend this great nation, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Bless them wherever they are. The awesome thing about this group of people that's with me, we're not saying, oh, my God in heaven, do something. They're going to all die. No, we stand and declare like Gideon, like David, like Joshua, man. Joshua was so serious about winning the battle, Father, he looked to heaven and said, I need some more time. And you gave it to him. And he won the battle. And he defeated the enemy. And he destroyed those who are against peace. He destroyed the wicked marauders that were destroying people's lives. Probably in our day we'd call them terrorists. Thank you, Lord, that we've got men and women, young men and women, that's willing to stand out there on that line. There's a whole new group of them right now in boot camp. Everywhere, wherever there's a boot camp going on, they're standing there saying, I can do it. I'll do it. Give them courage and strength, and may their chaplains and may men and women of God be found in those places training those young men and women and teach them there's a God in heaven and he will empower you, regardless of what anybody else says. Not some religious order, some religious indoctrination. No, there's a God. You see that, son? He made it. He's going to take care of you and help you and empower your hands. And may we hear the stories. Because the scripture says, we'll not dash our foot against a stone, and he who digs a pit for another will fall in himself. May we hear the stories. We declare it again today. We'll hear the stories that these things, that these IEDs, they set to destroy us, will just explode with nobody around, and they'll be exposed where they are, and our men will never be hurt again. I know you got an angel that would love the task of going doing, 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 and just setting them things off everywhere. Thank you, Lord. We pray for their families at home. Give them courage and strength, Lord. We pray it every day. But I know that every time we pray it, we throw another layer of insulation. We throw another layer of insurance. We put another layer of protection and covering around our men and women, because we stand in the gap and we make up the hedge. And one puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000. There's about 20 of us right now that's agreeing in faith. And we lay that layer of protection around them right now. And their families here at home provide, Lord, supernatural miracles. When their loved one comes home, may they have stories to tell, and everybody just stand there and look and say, well, that's amazing. It's obvious that God did something. We'll thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, before you go, looks like my brother's got his hand up over here. Hey, you got something for us?
Hey, I finally got hooked up with y'all, and this is so rich and so good. I had a discipleship breakfast yesterday. I have one every week with this man, and as we were talking, I began to show him about the power of our prayers from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 paints this picture of heaven that John saw. And you've just spent this time praying. These people have agreed with you in prayer. And I want to build their faith right now in every prayer that's just been prayed. Because the picture from Revelation chapter 5 is that there was something sealed. No man, no angel could open it. And we face that. We face that with these some of these diseases that the doctor looks at us and says, I can't touch that. I cannot affect a rescue or a cure. And we face that in some of these political situations, and we face it in some of these family situations in which a heart is turned bitter. We face it sometimes when we come up against addiction. One man can be counseled away from his addiction by the cost in money relationships, but another man, it has no effect. It's sealed to us. And we can't. John was standing there, and something was sealed, and he wept because nobody could do anything about it. And there was no angel, there was no man. And then the angel said, well, don't, or the elder said to him, don't weep. One of the elders from a throne that sits next to the throne of God in heaven said, oh, don't weep. The Lamb has the line of the tribe of Judah has been found worthy to open this thing.
Come on.
Sealed to men and angels. And he said, I looked. Now, what did he expect to see? The elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He expected the mighty lion. But when he looked, there at the throne of God, in the midst of the throne of God, was a lamb as it were slain. The appearance of Jesus before the throne is the appearance of the sacrifice that is perfect, the once-for-all sacrifice that paid for every one of these prayers, every one of these things that is sealed, that is beyond us. Oh, no. He appears there with his wounds that the Father planned into his existence here in this earth, that the Father planned to provide to be sufficient.
Wow.
He appears with those wounds. Now, the next picture is even more amazing because when he appears, all of heaven begins to bow and they... The elders themselves, there's these thrones around the throne of God in which a promotion of believers, a promotion of faith has happened for 24 great saints. We don't know who all they are. Many scholars believe that they're the apostles and then possibly Old Testament saints. But the fact is they're there. These elders, they don't sit piously on their throne. When Jesus appears, they fall on their faces before him, and that they have a harp, which they begin to sing music right there in the presence of God. And they have a golden bowl of incense. What is the heavenly incense? Oh, we would think, well, the heavenly incense is something we've never heard of. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says right there in this powerful moment where all of the multitudes of heaven, including its promoted and throne-sitting saints, bow before Jesus. The incense that comes up before the Father is your prayers. Your prayers. It says the prayers of the saints are in those golden bowls. That's the incense. That's the beautiful aroma, because every time you pray to God, you say, I believe you can. Every time you turn to him, you say, I believe you're the answer. The very fact that you turn to him says, and this prayer that's just been prayed is a beautiful incense before God. It comes up into his nostrils. The Father begins to smell this beautiful fragrance of our faith, that we would turn to him and get beyond our natural self. This is the picture from Revelation chapter 5. And as I spoke this to this man at the discipleship breakfast, it began to surge in both of us. And I saw his eyes wet up and mine began to wet up, and it began to surge that our prayers are the incense before God. No prayer of a saint is stored in some dusty corner of heaven. No. They're at the very throne of God, held by the highest promoted saints in all of heaven, and they're poured out before God, and you just pray deep prayers, and that is what is happening right now. And what is Jesus doing? Romans chapter 8 says he ever intercedes the will of God. When we're doing right, he's interceding the will of God for our life. When we're doing wrong, he's still interceding the will of God for our life, because he died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us while we were enemies of God. He paid the price, and he turns there and appears at the throne in the presence of those promoted elders that hold your prayers, he turns to the Father and says, I bought it with these wounds. The obedience that I offered that was perfected before this throne that made my sacrifice the final sacrifice ever paid for these prayers.
Come on.
And now today our faith is up. Today our faith is up that the healing that you have released not only flows to the names of the people that you have spoken, but it flows into the room and people near it begin to be sustained and lifted up, and this healing flows out like never before. Why? Because of our faith in our God.
Yeah.
This is the strong picture, and I just wanted to share it because it moved us so powerfully sitting in that restaurant yesterday that this is that picture from Revelation chapter 5 where our prayers go up before the throne of God, and he that is worthy to open the thing sealed. Somebody needs this today as you pray.
Yeah.
Somebody needs it. Because there's something that they say, man, it's sealed. Pastor, I can't get to it. Preacher, I can't get to it. Nobody's been able to get to it, and it's sealed. But he is worthy to open
he
that thing. And we put our confidence in him today.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Thank God I got to tap in for a minute and finally made this connection.
Well, thank you, Joe. That's so powerful because too often we begin to think, I'm just a little tiny nothing. What does God want to have to do with me? But right now there's 3, 6, 9, 12, about 18 or 20 people on. And every one of you that has released your faith at all in anything that we've done today and put your faith in agreement with it, as he just said, that's the prayers that were given up before the Father. The most rewarded people in heaven are going to be the people called they in the Bible. No name.
Mm-hmm.
Just they. The Bible says, these are they who made their robes white. Mm-hmm. And because today you released your faith in these prayers that we've prayed, even if you don't know how to pray, but you just in the inside of yourself say, what he said, God's going to honor that. And he's going to answer these prayers. Well, we're over our normal time. However, when I scheduled this program today, very specifically, the Holy Spirit said, make sure you leave yourself enough time. So I scheduled it a little bit longer because I just know that God's going to do things right here with us because he told us to do it. And when you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. So, here's how it ends. Wait, there ain't no end. There's no end. Here's how we finalize today. Our number is 347-838-8241. Give that number to people who may not be able to have access to the internet so that they can be a part of the radio program. Share it with truck drivers. Share it with shut-ins. Share it with people that are deployed. Share it with a security guard that sits there all night long in his truck or in the daytime. He doesn't do anything except just sit there and watch. Share this with a farmer that's going to be out in the field plowing and doing whatever. If he's got a cell phone, he can hook it up and he can listen while he's riding around on his tractor. Because that's the power of what we're doing. Share your prayer request with us. Here's our email address. A proverb, a prayer, and a miracle. Write it all out at gmail.com. Once you've done that once or twice in your email, then it'll automatically pop up every time you go there. Send us your request. Send us updates to your request so that we have the ability. And we'll come to you and have you tell these stories because we want to hear them because they build faith in us. And most of all, as you go about your day, know that the healing power of God is in you because he's in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And when people say, man, my life's a problem, I see you just putting your hand out and saying, let me pray for you. You know what? I'm going to say this. I don't usually do this, but Brother James, I see you specifically. Somebody's coming to you. And they're going to say, my life's a mess. There's just something's going on. And you're just going to put your hand out and just put your hand on their shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus, or God bless this person with strength, and God's going to move. I see it. I've been seeing it all morning. We're his hands. We're his feet. He can't do anything here. He's not going to do it with angels. They're not his children. He's going to do it with us. I'm not preaching anymore. It's time to go. I call you blessed. And like we do for our church service, I'm going to play my prayer of blessing as we go today in Jesus' mighty name. So until I see you again next time, remember, Jesus is Lord, and he performs miracles today.
I hope that you've enjoyed this message today. My prayer for your life and family is that since you're an heir of salvation, the angels of the Lord will minister to you every day of your life. I know that since you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you will remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I say he delivers you from the snares and traps with which the enemy would try to stop you. I say the word will be your shield and buckler every day. You will not be afraid of anything. You may see thousands fall by your side, but it will not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place. No evil shall befall you. No plague or calamity will come near your dwelling. For he will give his angels special charge over you to accompany, defend, and preserve you in all of your ways of obedience and service. I say all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, in the field, in the fruit of your body, in your work, and God shall increase you more and more. I say you're blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. I say the Lord shall cause your enemies that come out against you to flee in seven ways. You'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And you will not turn aside from any of these words of the Lord. I thank the Lord for you, and I pray that he shall grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. I pray the eyes of your understanding be flooded with enlightenment so that you can understand your place in God and that you know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power to you as you believe. And as always, we want you to know that we love you and God loves you. He has a place for you in his kingdom. He is good, and his mercy endures forever.